All right, we're taking a break from our regular programming here on KTWH to have our weekly check-in with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. Greg, thank you so much for calling in this morning. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I did. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so it's been a couple weeks now, and what I'm hearing is we have some news that isn't all bad this week. You want to just get started on, you know, what the numbers are doing right now?
Yes, that would be great. So, yeah, it is nice to share some good news for once. I feel like it's been many, many weeks and months of sharing kind of climbing numbers and concerning trends. You know, there have been a couple of concerning things, which I'll talk about, but I want to share the good news first. So this week, we've actually seen a pretty significant decrease in COVID-positive cases coming back, and so for the county. So on you know,
yeah.
Wednesday night, we added 10 new positive cases. Last night, we added 6 positive cases. And if you recall, even a week or two ago, we were up in the low to mid-20s per day. And so we were climbing. Our case rate is still quite high. So if you look at our 14-day case rate, we're still higher than St. Louis County. But that's going back 14 days and accounting for some of those really kind of high climbing days. So I think there's a couple things. When I first saw the numbers, I thought, well, that can't be because of the trends that are happening nationally and across the state and what we were expecting here. But I think a couple things are playing into this. Number one, you know, this most recent stay-at-home order for 30 days clearly is having an impact. And the challenge with that is it's been very difficult, I think, for restaurants to not have in-person dining, and they've had to shift it to carry out. But not in bars closing was difficult, and shutting the sports down was difficult for coaches and kids and parents. But all of those things have had a positive impact on really controlling or reducing the transmission of COVID in our community. So I think Lake County, you know, has been overall very compliant with mask use and following some of those governor's executive orders. The other piece around that is I think the Thanksgiving message, at least for Lake County, it seems to be well received. I'm pleasantly surprised at all of the people that told me they stayed home with their immediate family, did not have big extended family gatherings, and you know, we're still kind of right in the middle of the impact of that. So I think, you know, the next 3 to 4 days we'll kind of see. But, you know, the immediate impact after Thanksgiving was exactly what we were hoping for, is people did the right thing and we could minimize the cases and take the strain off of healthcare and everybody else. So that's all excellent news. And I'd like to thank our community and our listeners for, again, making that sacrifice and doing the right thing. And it certainly, at least at this point, has had a positive impact.
Great. Well, that is really fun to hear, Greg. And then I believe there's even more to talk about as far as long-term hope. There's development with a vaccine. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so our focus, it feels to me like the last probably many, many months has been focused around, you know, COVID testing and quarantine and all of those things, just to really identify who has it and how we deal with that and how we maintain workforce, which has all been fine. We've really shifted our focus, at least for me and our team here, is focused on kind of the vaccine distribution and vaccine rollout. I've had a number of calls this week, both statewide and with our regional coalitions and hospitals and all of that. So we are expecting our first shipment of COVID-19 vaccine to be out the week of the 14th, which is now just over a week away. And I think back to March and April when we heard all of this talk about we have to develop a vaccine to get a handle on this thing, and it felt... It was, you know, kind of pessimistic or difficult to think it's going to take us a long time.
Yeah.
Either, you know, either end of 2020 or 2021. And to think it's next week is kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what we've been hearing, too, which is great, is, you know, one of the vaccine companies is at 90% effectiveness. The other one's 95. So not only do we have a vaccine, it appears to be a very good one or good option. So
yeah.
Our rollout plan, I'll just kind of cover a high-level overview and you can ask some questions.
Yeah.
We expect to receive our first shipment to the region here, again, next on the 14th. The way that's going to work is there's 3,900 doses of the Pfizer vaccine coming to the region, and that's the northeastern Minnesota region. And there'll be 3 hospitals that will be kind of the hub of that, and that's Essentia Health Duluth, St. Luke's Duluth, and then Fairview Range and Hibbing. And what they will do is partner with spokes around the hospitals around their region. So, for example, St. Luke's will support Cloquet, Lakeview, and Grand Marais Hospital, and allocate us a percentage of the total 3,900 based on our number of employees. So the first round, as you've seen, is all based on frontline workers. So we will be getting a certain percentage of that vaccine. We'll be rolling that out to our physicians, our nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, RNs, nursing assistants, clinical assistants, lab and radiology, and again, all of those frontline staff. It won't be enough. we will not have enough to cover everybody. And then the next week, another shipment will come and we'll repeat. And so we'll kind of go through that process to get through all of our frontline staff first, as well as our local EMS partners.
Hmm. And is that a shipment that's going to come once a week from now into the future? Or is that just a limited that's going to come and then you get to see after 2 weeks what happens next?
Yeah, the plan is it will be a kind of a regular distribution or weekly shipment. You know, the challenge with the first dose that's coming to us, it requires the ultra-cold storage. And so Lakeview, way back many months ago, recognized that this was going to be a need, and we ordered an expensive ultra-cold storage freezer, but it's not going to be here until at least in the first or maybe even second quarter of 2021. So we're going to partner with St. Luke's. Well, they will store our ultra-cold storage or vaccine in storage, and then we'll get the box of it here on dry ice.
Hmm.
You've got 5 days to use the entire thing. You can't refreeze it. So our goal is to use all of it, you know, quickly, and then the next week we'll get another allocation and use it, and then kind of keep going that way until we're able to vaccinate first employees, EMS, and then we'll start going to patients and community after that.
Well, it goes without saying, Greg, this must just be a little bit of a shot in the arm for you to have a positive plan to be working on, and it's not like we're over the hump, but even just to be imagining being maybe near a hump somewhere is such a good thing. So I'm so excited that you're telling us these things.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've just spent so much time and effort on educating around mask use and social distancing and avoiding crowds, and that's all great, and we have to keep doing that. I think it's even probably more important than ever. But when you look at, and again, I look to the experts like everybody else around how do you control a pandemic and a virus like this, is you have to get to a vaccination rate in your communities or in your country that will help. And I think, you know, that in combination with all the other things we've been doing is just another really effective tool for us to kind of get past this and get back to our normal lives, which I want more than just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. All right. Well, one final question, Greg. We have talked before about sort of the bigger picture of all this and the importance of a healthy immune system and really a healthy population in order to be able to deal with things like pandemics, and something that we've not always been the best at as a country. Or, you know, we hear a lot about public health, and yet we struggle with a lot of health problems. So one question for you today is just about diet. So we are what we eat, and sometimes that works well for us and sometimes it doesn't work so well for us, and it will have an effect on how vulnerable we are to things like COVID-19. Do you want to just speak to that and maybe just talk a little bit about the importance of food and what foods maybe are important to eat and avoid?
Yeah, so this is such an important topic, and I think there's really two ways to look at this. So the first one, I think I agree with you, is that, you know, as a population, we're not nearly as healthy as we should be, and you know, we're taking steps here at Lakeview to try to make a difference with our employees first and then into our community and simultaneously with our patient population. But I think when you look at, you know, being able to fight off any kind of virus or any kind of medical condition, is healthy eating is very important. And so, you know, I think about, you know, back in March, I heard a couple people say, I'm going to start eating much healthier. I'm going to, you know, cut back on alcohol and maybe try to quit smoking and exercise, because they were scared. I mean, they were scared that COVID, it was pretty dire for some. That would
Yeah.
But we've learned a lot, and I think people that are making positive impacts in their life by making healthy food choices. I think food specifically, I look at how important it is to eat, you know, your enough servings of vegetables every day, and especially the dark greens, the broccolis and the spinach and those kind of things. Also, fruits are really important, and some are better than others as far as controlling virus. Of course, vitamin C's and those kind of things. You know, and again, limiting the amount of red meat that we eat. I mean, all of those things are important. And, you know, I do my best. I feel like I'm a healthy eater, but I've even done better over the last 6 months than I've ever done before. Just thinking, I want to have every advantage possible. If I do get COVID, I want to be one that, you know, again, fights it off and gets back to full strength and back to work and, you know, supporting the hospital and our community. The hard part, I think, around this is it's easy to eat the high carbohydrates or the high sugar foods or the high fat foods because we're all stressed. And I look at our employee team here that are working extremely hard and long hours. And we've had, last week was a really difficult week here with patients coming in with COVID and patients being transferred. And, you know, there were some community deaths that were difficult for people, for all of us, to really kind of work through. And I think people tend, then, when they're under stress or anxiety, is to, you know, turn to the high fat and high sugar foods, and which again just, I think, disadvantages you to COVID-19.
Right. Well, it's the comfort foods.
It is.
But, you know, one thing that our family has discovered is that there are comfort foods that are also healthy. You just got to discover what they are. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just think there's an endless, we are just so lucky to have such variety year round where we live. And, I don't know if anyone here has ever tried avocado toast with, McQuaid's special bagel spices on top. I mean, it's really, really something good. And I'm noticing in this the article that I've read recently that it speaks about the importance of protein, and especially the like grass-fed protein, because not only you are what you eat, and also of healthy fats and of not eliminating fat but having the right kind of fat. So I mean, it definitely takes a little bit of intention, but like you say, I just think the importance of it is, it could never be more obvious.
Well, that's true, and I think it all comes down to habit. So I think about, you know, I put in some really long hours at work, and I spend a lot of hours in my office at a computer, and I've had to take I like Dove dark chocolate, and I like Jelly Bellies, those kind of things. I had to take them out, because when you're working long hours and days, I try to bring a bag of carrots or a bag of almonds for a snack instead. And I think after a while of doing that, it becomes a habit, and you actually enjoy eating the healthier options.
Right.
And I notice now I've really worked hard, and I'm human like everybody else, is trying to cut back on just sugar. And now when I eat something that's high in sugar, it doesn't taste good.
Yes.
But it takes a while to get there. And
yes.
And it's a struggle for all of us. But
yes.
It's really important.
Yeah, I would say both sugar and salt are acquired tastes. And it's hard to believe that until you really start cutting one of them out or increasing it. And then you just really notice. I know my daughters, most of the stuff they get actually from our school, believe it or not, just tastes like way too sweet and full of chemicals. And so that's a statement right there that I think we need to pay attention to. And like you said, it's all habit. And so hopefully listeners are encouraged to just do one thing at a time. And remember that we're not just blank slates that diseases prey upon. You know, we're humans with immune systems and a digestive tracts that are all unique. So anyway, thank you, Greg. Anything else to add?
Well, just the last piece of that I think is really important is exercise. And, you know, I'm a physical therapist by background, and so I of course, know the importance of that. But for me, I mean, I get up every single morning at 5 o'clock and hit the treadmill, and I do some weightlifting routine, and it's such an effective stress control tool. And I think eating healthy and exercising, again, I think all of us can be healthier. And whether it's COVID or diabetes or any other condition, I think we can really make a difference in our lives. And again, it becomes habit, and it's not always easy, but I think it's important.
I agree. It's so true. I've heard 3 weeks, I've heard 6 weeks, I've heard 3 months, but at some point it becomes harder not to do it than to not do it than to do it. I mean, it becomes easier to do it than to not do it.
I would agree.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Well, Greg, we'll check in again next week. Thanks so much.
Yep. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg, the Lakeview Clinic CEO, also for the hospital.